for too long on my own. And I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall in the grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Whoa, whoa. Again and again and again and again. Whoa, whoa, whoa. My heart has been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel that rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. And I know I need you now. I run to Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart's found a surgeon, my soul's found a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Whoa, whoa, again and again. Again and again. Whoa, 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 again and again. Found in your hands, fullness of joy, every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence, and all of my gains now fade away. every crown no longer on display. Here in your presence, and heaven is trembling in all of your wonders. The kings and their kingdoms are standing amazed here in your presence. Presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. In every way, wonderful, beautiful, glorious, you're matchless in every way, wonderful, beautiful, glorious, you're matchless in every way, wonderful, you're beautiful, glorious. Matchless in every way. Here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. Here in your presence, we are undone. Here in your presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. You are wonderful, you're beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way, wonderful, beautiful, glorious, you're matchless in every way. If my heart could tell a story, if my life would sing a song, if I had a testimony, if I have anything at all. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. Let my children tell their children. Let this be their memory. That all my treasure was in heaven. And you were everything. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. My joy was found. I'm still in love. You're still enough for me. Still all I want. You're still my everything. I'm still in love. You're still enough for me. Still all I want. You're still my everything. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. When I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy is found. My joy is found.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the loving kindness of the Lord this morning? Amen. It alone has led us to repentance. Amen. His loving kindness has done that. If you'll turn with your Bible, or turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. I've titled this message this morning, Stepping into the Unknown. Stepping into the unknown. Hebrews chapter 11. I hear a couple pages turning. Amen. Swiping. I hear some swiping going on. It's all right. Praise God. Open it up or turn it on. You know what I'm saying? Either way. Thanks for getting your Bible out this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's pray, amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather, the freedom that we have to do that, Lord Jesus. You've given us that. You've given us the freedom of our souls, God, that we choose you. Father, we don't walk as everyone else walks because of what you've done for us, the blood that has separated us, God, from our sin, that we might be free of the bondages of sin. God, you've given us that, God. And Father, you've given us the freedom to choose. And Father, as we walk with you, God, we have choices to make, choices to follow you, choices to listen to you, choices to walk with you, God, even into places that we can't see. And so, Father, we ask you today, because faith is a gift. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. We must have it, Lord. You must bless us with that gift in order for us to even trust you, God. So, Father, we look to you this morning for faith. We look to your word this morning to encourage us, God, to embolden us that you are who you say that you are, and you've made us who you said we are, Lord Jesus. So we honor you. We thank you for everyone that's in this building, God. I pray every heart is open, every ear is open, God, that we all might be encouraged and our lives might be fuller by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Preaching on stepping into the unknown. How many of us know that that's not natural for us to do? I can tell you, I'm not so afraid of the dark as I am afraid of what's in the dark. Amen? Maybe some of you can agree with that. Maybe some of y'all aren't afraid of nothing. Praise God for you. But you've never stubbed your toe on the corner of your dresser. I'm fearful of that. Amen? When you're walking in the dark and you don't know where you're going, it's hard to trust every step that you take. And I want to encourage us, because we are creatures of habit, we are creatures of comfortability, that this life that we're living in Christ is always moving forward with Jesus. We're always coming from where we were to where God wants us to be. Ultimately, that goal is heaven. Ultimately, this life, when it ends, we're going to receive that divine richness of God's eternal home that he's created for us. Amen? Jesus went away to prepare for us many mansions. If it wasn't true, he wouldn't have told us so. So we know that is the finish line of our life in Christ. But Jesus wants us to acknowledge that there's more than the start date and the end date when we come to know God. Amen? How many of you know when you go into the cemetery, there's a day you were born and there was a day that you die? But everyone knows life was lived in the dash in between. Amen? That dash has a whole lot to say for people. And we have to live within that. We have to live for God within that. And how do God's people live? We must live by faith. We must live with the confidence that God has said what he said. And we can be unmoved when it comes to the things that God said. Both things that he said to us personally and the things that God has said in his word. Because our nature wants to be comfortable. Remember that as we talk about what we're talking about today. Our nature wants to be comfortable. God is going to speak to us throughout our whole life. How many of you just hear the voice of God, that still small voice from the Lord? How many, just a show of hands. I'm not trying to get Pentecostal on you. Just let me see your hands. I'm just teasing. You've heard the still small voice, which means that God is real and God is ministering to us. God is talking to us. And what is God saying? God is wanting to enrich us in his Spirit. God is wanting to give us confidence to take the steps into the future.
And to the future is an unknown for us. None of us know what tomorrow holds. It's darkness to us. But to God, the word says that he stands at the end of our life. He's here present with us, and he's even there at the beginning of time. God walks through time. He's not bound by time as we are. So even if we don't know what tomorrow holds, God has a firm grasp on everything that's going to happen tomorrow. What confidence we have as believers to know, I don't have to see what tomorrow holds because God holds my tomorrow. Amen? We can be confident in that. We can draw strength from that. How many of us live day to day with anxiety? What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the next few minutes? The doctor has given me some form of diagnosis. How is this going to turn out? Look at our nation right now. It seems dark or dim. How is our nation going to go forward? Does anybody have a projection? Does anybody have a word or a prophecy? Folks, it's not for us to know, but it is for God to know. And he draws us into our future. Isn't that wonderful? God's not behind us pushing us. That's a forceful nature of God. Rather, God is in front of us like a good shepherd. He's saying, if you're willing, take this step with me. And I'll open the world to you. I'll open the opportunities for you. I will give you the things and the desires of your heart. Because I believe as Christians, our desires in our hearts are no longer ours because we forfeited that nature. Now the desires of our heart are the desires of God's heart. So now we're being drawn. Isn't that great? That makes it a lot easier on us to make decisions, don't it? Anybody like making decisions in here? Anybody know where they're going for lunch after this? Decisions. Me and my wife don't know where we're going, but I'm going to ask her and she's going to say, I don't care. You tell me. Decisions. All of us have them. But isn't it comforting to know that I don't have to be the person that makes all the decisions? I can sit back and go, God, what's your will? God, what is your word saying to me? God, where is your spirit drawing me? That we can get alone with God and know him. And you know, the only thing that we have to do is believe. When we hear it, when we feel the drawing of God, all we have to do is say yes. Be obedient to the things he said. And taking a step in faith, it's fearful. It's dark in front of us. But isn't that what Psalms 119 says? Lord, be a lamp unto my feet. See, sometimes it's dark. And sometimes I don't need to see what the end of the road looks like. Sometimes I just need to see what the next step is, God. Can we agree with that this morning? As people of God, God, I don't need to see what the end is, even though we already know heaven's our home. But God, right now, in this life in between birth and death, I just need to see the next step for my life. I want to know that. Folks, I had this prepared before even what happened yesterday at that rally. And I'm not giving any advocation to a presidential candidate. I'm saying we live in a country right now where it's okay to shoot at people in public places. The nature of our nation is darkness. Who will lead us? Who will guide us in these dark times? I can tell you, if you're looking politically, they don't have the answers for you. They're just as blind as everyone else. The blind leading the blind is not good. Amen? We must call on somebody that sees, and it's the Lord Jesus. He sees for us. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I don't want to get too long-winded in my opening. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Amen? We live in a very physical world, but you need to realize what made up this physical world was invisible. Because God is spirit. God spoke it and it was. Folks, what do you think your future is? It's whatever God says it is. Amen? Amen. It's coming from the invisible to be made visible by us through God. Amen? It's not us going, I'm going to decide what my future is. It's going, God, you're going to decide what my future is. And by faith, I'm going to walk accordingly because I believe what you have for me is good. I believe you desire to glorify yourself in my life. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11 in these first few verses. Now we go to verse 4, and it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. One was not found, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we see here in this context that only by faith is God pleased. If you're a Christian, you desire to please God. That's just our nature as Christians. We have the nature of God. The nature of God is pleasing the Father. Well, how do we please the Father? By walking in faith. Just simply saying, God, I believe what you've said. Folks, I'm not getting any deeper than this, all right? If you're looking for a super rich revelation, this is as rich as it gets. Because nothing is possible in the Christian life. There is no deliverance. There is no salvation. There is nothing apart from faith. All of it is coupled. It's married to faith. I cannot be healed unless I believe God for it. I can't do it. Do you want to be healed this morning? Guess what? You're going to have to come and present yourself boldly before the throne of grace by faith and ask him and going, God, if you don't do it, nobody can. I lay it in your hands. I'm trusting you with it. I can go to every doctor. I can exhaust every avenue in my life to deal with this, God, but only you can do it. You are the judge, the jury, and the executioner of everything in life. So I can carry it around. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years, spent everything she owned on doctors and soothsayers and all the people that wanted to give her the right answer and probably some remedies and some medication. But where did she end up? She ended up at the feet of Jesus. It is said of you, Jesus, that when the world will not deliver, you will. It's said about you. So I'm coming believing you're all that I have. I've exhausted every other avenue. This is all I have is you. And when she touched just the hem of his garment, the issue was over just like that, because there was nothing else. 100% fully she believed, if I could just touch him, he'll heal me. Where is the faith in our church? Not just this church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Well, I don't know why we don't see any miracles anymore. Because the church is leading people more to specialists than they are the specialist. Folks, I had people come to our church the other day when we were here. And they were talking about grief counseling. And I'm not saying nothing negative about grief counselors. But I'm telling you, if you come and you have grief that you need counseled, let's go to the counselor. Let's go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The only one that can lift grief from a heart. The only one that can deal with a mourning spirit. Only God can deal with that. Folks, it's not in words and deeds, but it's in God alone. And folks, we've shaped this whole community, not just any of them, but the nation. We've shaped it to believe that the church is powerless. That's why we have to find other faith-based options. Folks, there is no other option but Jesus. I'm sorry. You go search it out for yourselves and you'll find out, just like everyone in this world has found out and so many Christians have before, it's meaningless at the end. You start right back where you began. Back to Jesus. It's only in your hands. Folks, these are testimonies of people in the Word of God. This is, we just talked about it. Only faith is going to please God. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Hear that? Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, heard from God. Moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Folks, you want to know how to save your household? You want to know how to save your kids, your grandkids? Get to Jesus. Because he's going to warn you about the coming days. You want to know what's going to happen in this nation for your children and your grandchildren? You better get to the throne room of God and lay on your face and go, God, as you gave it to Noah, you forewarned him. You allowed him to prepare an ark for his household that they might be saved in the coming judgment. Folks, God has given us Jesus. He's given us the cross as an ark that anyone that gathers in it might be saved. Folks, he's prepared us for this moment. We're not just waking up and going, I don't know how our nation's got here. We do know how. We've strayed from God. We've strayed from the opportunity of getting in the presence of God by faith. When Peter says this in his epistles, he says, you should gather the more as you see these days approaching. You should gather the more. Do you know why? Because it's only in the presence of God are the things going to be revealed which are to come. Only there. Folks, you can go get prepper kits all you want to. 20 gallons of mac and cheese and 5-gallon buckets if you want to. It's not going to save you in the end. You can't do it. It's not going to work. Buy all the ammunition you want to. It's not going to matter. Judgment is judgment. And the only ones which are spared are those in Christ. Only those. He's not going to let us suffer that judgment. He's going to remove us. Hey, store it up if you want to, baby. Whoever gets left, they can eat it. Amen? Amen. They're going to go, I know a Christian that lived around here. I'm going to go see what their house is. They ain't there. They don't need it no more. Amen. By faith, Abraham obeyed. You're going to hear a lot of that language, obedience. When he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. If y'all don't know the story of Abraham, God said, go out into the wilderness. No direction. He just said, leave your father's house and go out into this wilderness. Everywhere your foot touches, I'll give to you. Where was Abraham going? What direction did he start off in? Let me give you the key to that story, to that account. Abraham was looking for God. And when he walked out into that wilderness, he was being drawn in the direction that God was drawing him. He was never lost until he decided to go into a place that he wanted to go rather than when God. Remember when he went to Egypt? No, that's not my wife. That's my sister. God's like, well, we'll deal with this and get you right back on track. I love the grace of God. He's had to do. I've had to back my way out of some places that I've chosen to go. Anybody else? I've had to back on out of some places that I've chosen to go. But he helps us. And he went out for the inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. You know, Abraham slept in the inheritance that was being given to him, and he didn't know it was the inheritance yet. He didn't realize it. Just by faith, he was there. He couldn't see that his descendants were going to own that land given to them by God through his obedience. He didn't see it yet. So folks, let's not grow weary in the things that we can't see. Because if God says they're coming, they're coming. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which was founded, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Folks, it's the same for us. We're wandering through this wilderness in life, awaiting the promise. Folks, you can build your houses if you want to. It is not the same as the mansion you're going to receive in heaven. When you're transformed and transported, folks, my house ain't coming with me. Your stuff ain't coming with you. There is a reward there. You're as a stranger here, a foreigner here. We're waiting for the promise. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Folks, we are no different than Abraham. We're as people that are dead. But God has left us here in this earth that he might bring something forth out of what was supposed to be dead. What was dead And he's bringing life out, but it's by faith, it's choice. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, not the promises of heaven that God has offered, but the promises in the earth. Are you okay as a church, as individual Christians, getting to the end of your life and not seeing what God promised you, but still knowing that God is going to fulfill it, even if you don't see it for yourself? See, most of us aren't. Most of us get displeased with God. Well, my time's running out, God. God's time's not running out. What he's birthed in you may be for your children, maybe for your grandchildren. But thank God it started somewhere. Thank God someone nurtured it and raised it so that it could be passed off in faith. I just can't wait to tell my kid, there's some things I'm not going to see. And if God tarries to where my children are going to be adults one day and live a life, I can't wait to look at them and go, God has hid this in my heart all my life. And apparently it's not for me to bring forth, it's for you. I can't wait to hand it off to my kids and go, I pray you believe and you nurture it as diligently as I have all these years. Because you can't even imagine what it's going to be like when God brings it to pass. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what God is going to let your children see and your grandchildren see? If God tarries, they're going to see wonderful things. Now, I don't know that he's going to tarry that long. Don't get your hopes up. Expect him tomorrow. Amen? But they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. And I love that about God. Folks, if we get weary in well-doing, God just brings that old promise up and go, it's still there for you. Wait, be encouraged. Folks, we can hold on to these promises. We're assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Folks, we have an ending. We have an ending. We have an assured place. Live your life in the fullness of God. What can stop us? What could hinder us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I have two accounts I want to share with you, two different pieces of scripture, and I was going to read them in their length for us, but I can see that we just may need to be talked through them, amen? So I'm not saying you're tired, I'm just saying you might be a little tired. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells of this account. You'll remember in 1 Kings 18, Elijah calls all of the prophets of Baal, calls out Ahab, and says, I want you to meet me on Mount Carmel. We're going to decide today who is real God. Is Baal God or is God our God? And you're going to decide because he's going to give you evidence of who he is. Now, Elijah gathers everyone up, all the people of Israel into Mount Carmel, all of the prophets of Baal, Ahab, the king of Israel at the time, and they all gather up there. They put the sacrifices out there. We know how the story goes. And the Baal prophets go first, and all day they worship and praise and cut themselves. They're fanatical, and nothing happens. Elijah says, your God must be asleep. Maybe he doesn't hear your voice. Maybe you should cry louder because he can't hear you. And he's just mocking them. And then when the time came for Elijah, Elijah said, it's my time, but I want you to go get some water. And I want you to douse this sacrifice three different times. And just to add insult to injury, I believe how's fire going to come out from waterlogged wood and an altar? And what happens? Elijah stands in front of all Israel, that you should be known, God, among your people. Fire falls from heaven, licks up the entire sacrifice. Nothing is left. Not even the rock or dust around it is there. And the fire licks it up, right? Now we find ourselves in 1 Kings chapter 19. That was a quick summary. I encourage you to go read it for yourself. There are some details missed if you just want to read that for yourself. 1 Kings 19 now, we see Elijah fearful. This is same day, same context. Elijah just saw fire fall from heaven. But now it says that when Ahab returned home, Jezebel put out a message. Old Jezebel wrote a message and said, surely this day you're going to die. I'm going to send everyone out after you and they're going to murder you, Elijah. Now, Elijah just witnessed one of the greatest miracles of all time. God just established and said, I am the God of this place. I'm going to take over this place. These are my people, not Jezebel's people, not Satan's people, not the world's people. These are my people, and I'm going to be in charge of them. I'm going to take care of them. I'm reestablishing dominance over them. And as soon as Elijah got that message, what did Elijah do? Elijah tucked tail and ran as fast as he could away that he might hide himself for fear that Jezebel would find him and kill him. Folks, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you've seen in the past. It doesn't matter how good God has been to you. And we have to draw from those testimonies, but you should take this realization that every day I've got to come to God. Doesn't matter how good God was yesterday. I've got to come today. Because if I don't, I'm just as susceptible as Elijah of fear of my own personal situation in this moment. And it might overwhelm me. It might overcome me. It could kill me. And let's be honest, I don't want to serve God if that's the way that it's going to be today. Yesterday, you promised victory, and I was ready to be victorious. And we were victorious. But today, now they're going to kill me. So all of a sudden, there's fear in Elijah's heart, and Elijah runs. He runs far away out into the wilderness, 40 days into a wilderness, and then he goes some more days into the wilderness as if that wasn't good enough. And what happens? God sends an angel of the Lord to him. Aren't you grateful that even when we're just cowardice to God's will, that God still looks at us and goes, you can run as far as you want to from me. I'm everywhere. Aren't you glad God's everywhere? It's like David said, I can't escape you. I've made my bed at the gates of hell and you found me there. Folks, run if you want to. If you're living and you're breathing, there is grace for you. Isn't that wonderful? Run from God, run from the call all you want to. He'll chase you all the days of your life. He's not afraid of where you go. Hide if you want to. He's going to meet you there. And you know what he's going to do? He sent an angel of the Lord, and the angel cooked him bread and kicked him and said, wake up and eat and gain your strength. Folks, Elijah should be beaten for what he's done. But God's shown him mercy. He said, I'm not done with you yet. You don't see it yet. You don't see the victory ahead. But I'm trying to get you to the place where you can obtain this. And you're running in the opposite direction right now. But don't worry. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to build you back up, Elijah, in your strength, in your faith. And then I'm going to lead you gently back to where I want you to go. See, that's the way that God deals with it. So if you're running right now, know this. In the morning, you might have fresh bread from God. He might say, you're not where I want you to be right now, but take your strength. So he eats the bread, and he gets up, and he's led up into the mountain of Horeb. Do you know what the mountain of Horeb is? It's the same place that Moses got the law from. So the same place that Moses met with God, now we see Elijah meeting with God there. But we don't see Elijah meeting God the way that Moses did. We see Elijah even going where God called him to do and hiding in a cave. God, I'm where you want me to be. Do you imagine if I preach by, I mean, not this one. This one doesn't work. But God, I'm going to answer the call to preach, but I'm going to hide behind something while I do it. I'm fearful even in the midst of my own call. That's what Elijah was doing. I know you've brought me here, but he's still fearful. He's in the cave. And we all know the story. I hope we do. It says that a great earthquake came and it shook the mountain. It broke rocks. A great storm came and the wind was so powerful. It shook the mountain. A great fire came and it burned. So, I mean, it was unfathomable the nature of these things that came. And it says Elijah was watching all of it from within the cave. But then what came was a still small voice. Because it says that all those things had happened. God wasn't in any of those things. But then there was a still small voice. And it was the Lord.
And Elijah got up out of his place of hiding, and he came to the face of the cave. And this is where God met with him. And he said, Elijah, Jezebel's not going to kill you. No one's going to kill you, because I have things for you to do. I'm not going to let you die, because you're my child. I'm going to lead you, and you're going to anoint these people, and they're going to take it from you. You're not going to have to carry this burden. You're going to be handing this off to someone, and they're going to defeat Jezebel, if you can believe it or not. Folks, that thing that we may not have been able to overcome in our life, maybe my children will. My children may lick it. But I can tell you, if I give up, they might not have the chance. If I hide away from it, they may not get the opportunity to receive the inheritance of faith. See, Elijah didn't get to see God. He could only rely on hearing God in the still small voice. I want to encourage you, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not out there. We must call on God and say, God, even if you won't open my eyes to it right now, will you just lead me by the still small voice? Can your spirit just dwell in my heart and draw me? Whatever it takes, God, get me there. The next account of it is you go to Matthew chapter, let me get to it. Matthew chapter, I'm not trying to rush, I promise, but I feel rush. So forgive me. I'm not trying to just shoot words out at you. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verses 22, you can read it there. Everyone knows this account. It's when Jesus walks on the water. And I'm going to tie these things in, I promise you. But by the grace of God, I'm going to tie them in. But Jesus sends his disciples out into the ocean. And he says, I want you to go ahead and go to the other side. I'll meet you there. No one knows how he's going to do it. But at night, they're crossing this water. And remember, these are skilled fishermen. These are skilled boatsmen. They know how to handle themselves in rough seas. But they get out and a tempest rises up that they can't handle. And in the middle of that tempest, they begin to see something in the distance. Y'all remember this? Remember this account? I'll read it if you don't know it. But they see something. And all of them, for fear, believe it's a ghost. In their culture, I read this somewhere in a commentary. I don't know if it's real or if it's not real, but this is what it said. But they said that when a sailor or sailors are about to die, like in that time, the Jewish people, they would see a ghost letting them know that it's certain death for them. Like that they're about to be spirits, you know, they're about to perish. I read that in a commentary about the Jewish culture in that time. So when they see this figure, they are believing God has sent us to die here. Jesus has sent us out here to die. And now we're witnessing. And so for fear, they begin to just lose all hope. But then all of a sudden this figure calls out and it says, don't worry, don't fear, it's me. And they begin to kind of get a hold of themselves, still being tossed to and fro in the sea. And Peter has this wonderful idea to call on God. If that really is you, beckon to me and I'll come out to you the same way that you are. I don't encourage anyone to do this. Amen. It's better to swim. Peter finds that out later. Remember when Jesus was restored and he jumped out of the boat? He swam that time. He didn't try walking. But Jesus beckons him out, calls him out upon the water. Peter walks out towards Jesus, and what happens? The wind, the waves, all of it's too much. He loses his focus on Jesus, and he begins to sink. And then he calls out to Jesus, save me, Lord. And Jesus walks over there, retrieves him up out of the water, carries him back to the boat, and he gets him in the boat, and it says, and they all worshiped him as the seas stilled. Right? But I want to point your focus to this. Peter could see Jesus, and fear still crept in. Faith still failed. So it's not a guarantee. Just because I can see in the distance that God is, doesn't mean that the enemy of our souls is not going to break in
with trial, with trouble. It doesn't mean that waves are not going to arise in our life, that our winds are not going to blow in to try to pull our vision off of God. And even Jesus, even though they saw him dimly, they still saw him. And maybe you're here this morning and you just say, my faith is failing me. I can only see Jesus dimly. But the waves and the wind are all, the rain is coming. I'm having a hard time seeing them. And I'm feeling the beginning to sink. Folks, it's not about our ability to get to him in our faith. It's not about our ability to see God in the midst of our storm. It's about our ability to believe that if we call upon his name, that he'll run to our rescue. He'll rip us from the grips of the depths and he'll take us back to safety. Right back to where God told him to be. Jesus said, get into that boat and go to the other side. But somewhere in the middle of the journey, Peter said, Jesus, if it really is you, call me out of this boat. Jesus didn't want him out of the boat. Jesus wanted to get them to the other side. But Peter didn't say, Jesus, get us to the other side. Peter decided for his own will, his own fate in that moment. But what is the goodness of God? Jesus snatched him up out of his peril, brought him back, and everyone in the boat worshiped. Folks, who cares about your failures in faith? Who cares about the real fears that we all have? If we fail, so be it. But don't be so prideful that we don't call upon the name of the Lord, because he will save us. He will save us. No matter how fallible that we are, and you know what's going to happen when he does? Everyone that's around us is going to go, your God is amazing. I can't believe he saved you and we're all here now. We only have this. This is all we have as Christians. You can't even be saved without faith. Think about it. You are saved by grace through faith. We toe this line of fear and instability in our own nature with God, in our own life with God. And it's not because it's so hard, but it's because it's so simple. Don't let that go over your head this morning. Believing on God is simple, but we make it difficult. We put contingencies in the way. Well, God, if this is really you, do this, this, or this. And I'm not saying you can't put a fleece out. You can. God will allow that. But when the fleece is done the way you told him to do it, and God answers you, don't go, I know you just showed me that you confirmed the thing that I asked you to, but if you do this, this, and this, maybe then. We have to be careful of that. Because as simple as, listen, you'll know if it's God when you step into it. So simple. As a church, as a body of believers, guess what? There's going to be people that come here that we don't know with a plethora of problems in their life and sin in their life. And by faith, they're going to step into these doors, believing that what we claim is what they're going to receive. We heard it out of Revelation already before we started. Jesus talks to the churches, the seven churches. You know what he said to some of them? Your works are good. You do these things well. I have nothing to say against your love or the way that you do things, but I'll tell you this. You've separated yourself from me in a certain way. You've left your first love, and it's made you powerless. Folks, doesn't matter how good we do church. Doesn't matter how great our love is. If we don't have faith, if we don't believe that every soul that comes in here can be redeemed, if we don't believe that every sickness that comes in here can be healed, folks, we're doing this community a disservice. Folks, I said this last Sunday, or maybe I said it Wednesday, I don't know. But it's like, I remember the testimony of this older gentleman. It's 12 o'clock. Give me just a couple minutes. Amen. I'm going to close. I promise. This older gentleman that I met, his family from the hills of Arkansas, they don't even have running water or plumbing. And he's an older man. He still lived like this. And he testified at a church service one night, and he said, my mom, he said, I didn't even know what Tylenol was until I was in my 50s. He said, because whenever we got sick, Mama didn't run us to the doctor or to the hospital. Mama brought us to church. And she'd lay us down on the altar, and people laid their hands on us, and God healed us. That was his testimony. He said, I didn't even know what a Tylenol was. If we had bad headaches, if we had fevers, we went and we called the church together, and they gathered and they laid hands on and prayed. It's not because God is not willing to do miracles. It's because his church has not believed. That's what it is. We have to come and submit ourselves in the presence of God and say, God, first of all, whatever your will is, let it be done. Lead us, God, as a body. Lead us as men and women of God. Lead our homes. Lead this church. We submit to you, whatever it is. Remember Elijah? Whatever you want, God, if you want me to go challenge the whole state of Israel, I will, if that's what you want, and I'll submit to it. But whatever happens is on you. It's okay to say that to God. God, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what this is going to look like. I just know the outcome is on you. I'm going to do what you say. You remember Jonah? Remember Jonah? He argued with God. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't. They're going to do whatever they want to do. I don't want to go. God made him go. And what did he see? He saw the move of God in those people. You know what Jonah crosses on? He said, I knew this was going to happen. I don't know why you had to send me all the way over here. They're bitter. He was bitter after seeing a move of God. Folks, we have to believe. It's not just going and doing it, but it's having the heart of God when we do it. It's the only, folks, there is nobody in this building that wants to see God move more than me. I promise you. And there's no one more unqualified in this building than me to see God do it. But God doesn't care about qualifications. God doesn't care about backgrounds. God doesn't care about if you were raised in this religion or this religion. He doesn't care about none of that. Have you believed? Do you believe? It's all I have, folks. All I have to my salvation, to my pastorship, as a father, as a husband, all I have is God, it's up to you. My life is yours. Even when you say things I don't like, you make us do what I don't want, I trust you, God. Because I've seen God move. I've seen it. And it's been like fresh bread to me for my strength. Folks, maybe that's where you are this morning. You just need some fresh bread. Maybe you're in the place Elijah was in. I just don't see a way out. I don't see how God's going to bring this. You need to hear the still small voice. You need to get into his presence and seek him. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm. Maybe you're like Peter. Maybe you dimly see God, but you're not sure if it's him or not. And you need to call out to him. Not so that you can work your way to him, but call out to him and go, save us. Save me from my despair. Help me. Help me see through this storm. Help me get out of this place that I'm in. Lead us, God. As a church, we should be praying right now by faith. God, our country is in turmoil. God, I can't hear or see what in the world's going to happen. And I'm laying myself down on you, believing, God, that only you know. Folks, we got to take our life and we got to package it up and we got to hand it over to the Lord and say, God, whatever your will is for it. It's going to come at great cost. I want you to know that. And if your faith is not in the Lord and it's in something else, you're going to wind up a loser, losing all that you've invested in because you've put your hope and your faith in something that is not eternal. It's all going to pass away. It's all going to perish. None of it's coming with us. The only thing that's coming with us is the works of God through God. It's by faith. So can we just take a few minutes? Can we stand all over the building? I don't want to just blanket a prayer. I don't want to just say this in your heart. I genuinely want us to go, you know what? I've heard of God. But I don't know God. I've not believed on him. I've acknowledged that there is one, but I've not put my personal faith in Jesus.
and I want to believe.
I want my life to be in his hands, because if the end really is reward in comparison to no reward, I want reward through Jesus. I want to believe on him. If you're a Christian here today and you're saying, man, my life is in turmoil and I have no idea what direction and how I'm going to come out of this situation and I can't see a way, you need to be asking God today, God, I need your still small voice to speak through me. Speak to me. Speak through this darkness. Because there's fires and there's hurricanes and there's earthquakes. There's a bunch of noise, God, going on, but you're not in any of that noise. God, you need to speak to me with your still small voice. Or maybe it's just saying, God, I see you. I've been following you, but you're dim. The way is dim. And I just need you to be a lamp under my feet. I need you to draw me into the place that you need me to be in. If you're in any of those places, can we pray corporately together? No music or anything. I just want us to meet here in the altar, and we can just say, God, help us. Help our church. Help our community. Help our nation. Help our family. Folks, I want the testimony of Hebrews 11 of Noah. God, I want you to build an ark in my home. Save my household. I need that right now. I need a future for my family in this country. I need that. God, and I don't see how you're going to do it. Only you can see. We need that. Can we come to the altars and pray? Just together. If you're willing.
For whatever those things are.